take us through the recovery then. What was that journey like? How long did that take?
Well, first of all, I was fortunate to find out that I had it early, and I had plenty of time, even though I didn't believe the doctors. I thought they were just being nice guys. I had plenty of time. I started asking around with other survivors, how did they know, and what kind of treatment did they choose? And my wife and I selected surgery, and so I had my prostate removed. And when the AUA asked me to consider being a spokesperson, I said yes. And the main reason I said yes is because so many men love football, and I knew that we'd be able to get their attention at least for a couple of minutes, enough where they might go out and talk to their doctor and get educated about this disease, because prostate cancer is treatable. If you catch it in the early, early stages, it's almost a 99.9% chance that you're going to be fine. But if you wait a little longer and catch it in later stages, it's a different fight. Doesn't mean it's, you're not going to make it. You know, why take the chance? Most men are going to die with prostate cancer. It's going to be in their system. It's just when it gets out of whack, it gets really aggressive. That's when you have to make a decision. And so, you know, the advice we give is talk to your doctors about it. Find out, you know, maybe when you're 40, and if you know your family history, you can really wait if it doesn't run in your family until you're in the 50s before you start having conversations about it with your doctor.
Can you just take me back to the fact that you didn't necessarily get tested? Just I know you mentioned it previously, just to unpack that a bit more. How much of that was cultural, and how much of that was, I'm a Hall of Fame athlete, maybe I feel invincible? How much of it was that as well?
Well, it was none of that, really, because I was taking a physical. I had a physical every year, and I had a physical that year, earlier in the year. But I didn't know anything about prostate cancer, so I wasn't sitting there talking to my doctor about it at my last physical. And that's why when I called my doctor after getting the PSA results, he had a recent PSA number. So at the screening, it was 3.5, and just 3 or 4 months earlier when I had my physical, it was 3. But if you go back 2 years, it was 1. And so we had a spike, and so it doesn't necessarily mean you have cancer, but it does mean that you should probably take a deeper look. And the biopsy is the only way you're going to tell. And my biopsy, they checked, took skin samples or tissue samples, I should say, off my prostate in 12 different places, and I had cancer in 9 of the 12.
And just about your doctor again, how much was it the fact of your specific doctor to allow you to open up to talk about this?
Well, that was the good news, that even though I was ignorant, my doctor was taking a PSA study for me every year, and I'd been seeing him for like 3 years or 4, and so that was the good news, so that when we did have this conversation, we could have a deep conversation about it. But my takeaway from all of this is men need to be responsible for their own health. I mean, it was by coincidence that I found out. We want men to know their personal risk. If it runs in their family, and they know what they're looking for when it, you know, in terms of symptoms and things.
A couple questions about football before I let you go. Can you talk to me about the rivalry between the Patriots and the Jets when you were playing versus today?
Well, the rivalry even today is still a great rivalry between the Patriots and the Jets. My rookie year, they had a new rookie quarterback named Richard Todd, and you know, Joe Namath was still there, but he was, you know, at the end, they thought maybe at the end of his career. Both teams were pretty similar in that we had a super fast receiver in the end, you know, and good running backs, good line, good defenses. It was always a pretty good game. And my rookie year, I think, Joe Namath was still playing, and our team set a record of interceptions. We had 7 interceptions in that game. And that was maybe his last game that he started as a Jets quarterback. And then they went with it exclusively with Richard Todd. But the following year, or the next couple of years, our teams were very well matched. They were very similar in the way that they were drafting players, the type of temperament that the team had. Our team had a lot of success because we had a tight end named Russ Francis, who was unbelievable, and we had a running back named Sam Cunningham, who was kind of a freak of nature. I mean, when you look at running backs, he was way taller and could jump over guys, and just, you know, it was a great team, great coaching, But it was really well balanced. And when it comes to those two teams, they were pretty similar.
Do you ever wish you could play in today's NFL, or are you happy having played in your era?
I wish it all the time. You know, like, I didn't get a lot of interceptions in my career because I didn't get a lot of passes thrown at me, you know. Where today, they throw passes at everybody. I mean, I can't believe that Richard Sherman and, you know, all these great cornerbacks are getting interceptions because they're still picking on them. If you're going to throw the ball 50 times, they try to catch guys like him sleeping. So, yeah, I think it'd be a lot more fun just because the ball be in the air a lot more. And, you know, I like the challenge. And, and you could get away with being a bad tackler today. You know, when I played, that wasn't acceptable. The corners were good tacklers as well. And we got paid for being a complete player. Today's corners, a lot of them just see themselves as cover guys. I'm a cover guy. You know, that's what I do. You know, I don't tackle. You know, I just, that's one of the big changes, I think, in the two eras, really.
Last question for you. If social media existed in your era of football, what would the NFL have been like?
Probably like it is today. You know, that you would probably have a lot more guys that have household names, you know. Back in the day, to be in New England, no one may even see us play. Well, today, with, you know, cable and technology and social media, you can learn everything about every team and every player if you want. You know, it's just a different deal. You know, the thing I love is the salaries that the current players make. You know, you can, it's crazy that the sport is much more of a global sport as well. They found a way to get women interested in the sport. You know, there was, before it was such a gladiator sport and that women really didn't like it that much. But today they found a way to get them in there. There's more changes and opportunities for women to have careers in football, and that helps them want to watch the sport as well. So I think today's football is way better than it was in my era.
Great, Mike. That's it for me. Thank you very much for your time.
Okay, thanks.
Appreciate that.
Talk to you later.